Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
There you go, church. I just want us to pray right now. When you look to God, Father, we thank you for the work you are doing through IJM, through other organizations to see slavery end. And so, Lord, we are believing together as the church that you would use us to play our part and see a breakthrough right across the earth. Lord, to see a breakthrough in our nation, that it would end. Lord, there would be freedom for these young lives that are impacted, Lord. God, we pray that you would use those that are in the judicial system. Lord God, you would anoint them, Father, to bring justice. There would be an end to any tolerance. God, that there would be, yes, grace and mercy, but a clear boundary, Lord, that brings an end. Father, we are praying for those affected, Lord. We pray that their heart and mind would be restored and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, they would truly discover freedom and that they would be free indeed. Lord, we praise the church. Raise up the church everywhere to be a part of addressing these kind of problems in the earth, that we would not be passive, that we would not be dormant, God, but we would be active, playing our part in seeing the kingdom of God advanced. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for using us, using our resource. And we pray, Lord, may it multiply and be blessed for this purpose. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, church. Yeah. Thank you for all you do to give. You know, freedom is really important. Freedom is really important to God. Freedom is the signature of God in people's lives. And it is the hallmark of Jesus's ministry. Luke 4:18 to 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Freedom for prisoners is a part of the central earthly mandate of Jesus's ministry. Setting captives free is what Jesus came to do. Paul, in his letter to the Galatian church in Galatians 5 verse 1, he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Meaning in the church, there was teaching about circumcision being added to your salvation. And Paul says, no, you do not add. It is through the gospel. And the reason Jesus sets us free, everybody, is so you can be free. There's no strings attached. It's for freedom, that you would truly be free and who God has called you to be. So God, I pray, speak to us today. Let this word about freedom, let your intention, your heart for people be clear in us. God, give us a revelation. And Father, I pray, set us free today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can you thank the worship team? You're so good, guys. We love you. Get out of here. I want to read John 8, 31 to 36. It says this in the ESV. So Jesus said to the, do you have your Bibles? Come on, talk to me. Do you have your Bible? Yeah, grab your Bible, grab your Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to bring a Bible every week. I want you to own your own Bible experience, all right? And we got a big Bible on the screen, but that's if you don't have your Bible because you're kind of a guest, you're on the journey. But if you've been following Jesus, get out your Bible, get out your digital device, whatever works. We accept all phones around here. It's okay. Except Samsung. I'm joking. So, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So true disciples don't visit the word of God. They live in it. Like you don't pop into the word of God. Jesus is saying those who truly follow me and are truly disciples, they're being shaped and formed by me, don't visit the word of God. They live in it. They dwell in it. They wake up in it and they go to bed in the word of God. Like Joshua, God told Joshua, meditate on this law day and night. Come on, everybody. Let's not be the kind of people that visit the word of God. Let's live in it. Let's dwell in it. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's read it. Let's be full of the word. And then they answered, verse 33, they answered him saying, we are offspring of Abraham and have never, this is funny, and never been enslaved to anyone. Hang on a second. This is what you call denial. We have never. What about Egypt? What about Babylon? What about the current Roman Empire that you are subservient to? we're not slaves. And it's interesting because we can live in denial about some truths. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So you know when Jesus says truly, truly, he is telling the truth. And if he says, you know, your mother, has your mother ever said your name twice? Have you ever experienced that? Come on, church, talk to me today. Are you there? You ever had that? Well, when that happens, you know to listen. You know to stop what you're doing and listen. And you know, like, I would say every week, take notes, get into the word of take notes. But Jesus is kind of saying, like, what I'm about to say, you should take notes on this. You should definitely note this down. Because whoever practices, whoever has a lifestyle, where there's habitual sin, we end up a slave to sin. And we are all fallen. We are all human. But we can get caught in cycles and habitual sin that we end up a slave to. And we're going to talk about that more in a moment. The slave, it says in verse 35, does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So the slave does not have access to the belongings. The slave is not an heir of that family, but the son is. And so it says in verse 36, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Everyone say free indeed. Free indeed. Indeed. Before we come back to John 8, I want to highlight three layers of freedom we can experience. The first one is physical freedom through rescue. Physical freedom through rescue. You need to understand, church, God is a deliverer and he is into physical freedom. The people of God, the Israelites, they were physically, not symbolically, physically freed from Egypt. He led them out. He brought plagues. How many? How many? Bible trivia. How many? Okay, we need to up our Bible literacy. Okay. And 10. And then Moses lifts the staff and parts the Red Sea and they cross over. God is into physical freedom. Come on, church. It matters to God if there are people that are unjustly enslaved. It matters in the earth. It is not right. It is not right. And God's not okay with it. It matters. And so you need to understand that it's not just an Old Testament thing. In the New Testament, Peter was in prison. And the church prayed, it says in Acts 12. And his bondages fell off him and he walked out free. God is in to releasing captives. And do you know, as we heard today, get this, there are more people in slavery today than there has ever been in history. in the history of the world. There are more people enslaved today. Come on, church, this is a problem. I'm praying that you get this in your heart. This is a problem. And the church is called to lean into these kind of things, not to just be on the outskirts of it. We're called to lean in. God wants freedom for the slaves, for the oppressed. It matters to God. And you know, there can be other kinds of physical slavery we experience on the northern beaches. There's addiction, there's debt, there's toxic relationships, there's sickness and infirmities. God wants freedom in our lives. And disclaimer, all right, just a little disclaimer. You ready? Just lean in, because this disclaimer is important. God wants to free you from things that have got you caught unjustly. But don't be praying to God. Listen, don't be praying to God to free you from that speeding fine. Stop speeding, okay? That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. There's things that are consequences that are just. But where there's injustice, we are called to see freedom come to the captive. Number two is emotional, mental freedom through restoration. Because like the Israelites, they got physically set free, but it's one thing to get out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of you. And so they still had a mentality and a mindset that was reflective of a slave, even though they were free. It took 40 years of wilderness wandering for them to come to a place where they actually would inherit the promised land. So like many survivors that come out of slavery, there is a journey of restoration, and it is a process, and we all need it. We need renewing. Romans 12:2 in the NIV, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Church, we need the word of God to renew our minds. You've got some stuff that you need renewing in. Don't act like you don't pretend. It's okay. We all do. And I want to share something my dear mum taught me, Jane Lee. She's the best. She taught me 4 hours. 4 hours. She's such a preacher. 4 hours of actually renewing your mind and getting renewed in an area. She said the first R is recognize. You got to recognize what needs renewing. What is in my life that is a little off, that is broken, that is fallen. I got to recognize it. You got to come to a point where you call it out. How you doing? You got to recognize some stuff. Number two, you then need to repent of it. Not blame. Not talk about why. We actually need to repent. Say, Lord, I repent of this thing. Cleanse me. The road to freedom in God always begins with repentance. That we turn to him and we repent, we turn away. The third is renounce. So I repent and then I renounce that thing. I say, no, you no longer are a part of me. Church, you need to grow your no. It is okay to say no. I'm not having that anymore. I am done with that. I'm not going to carry this on from generation to generation anymore. No, in Jesus' name. I renounce it. I rebuke it. I say no. But then, you know, when you renounce something, it leaves a void. When something breaks off your life, it leaves a void, which means you need to fill that void with the word. Because if you renounce and you have something that gets out of your life, it'll come back with friends unless you fill that void with the word of God. How you doing? I've had this in my life. Shock, horror. You know, this is a thing that all of us journey through. And so I, you know, like being a senior pastor, you get a lot of opinions coming your way. Yeah, that was not in the contract. Yeah, you get a lot of opinions, and I'm okay, but I recognize that in this last season, a bit of fear of man was starting to rise up on the inside of me. A bit of fear of what people think, fear of what they're saying, fear of whatever, fear of man. And I know you've never experienced that. But me, I have. And you know, I actually had to recognize it, call it out, name it, not be confused about it any longer. I named it. And then I repented of it. I didn't say it's because of, well, I'm like this because, well, I had to repent. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And then having repented, I had to renounce it off my life. I do not have the fear of man. I am going to a new level of the fear of God, not the fear of man. I'm not called to fear people. I'm called to love them. I'm not afraid of people. I love people. I renounced it off my life. Any intimidation, I rebuke you today in Jesus' name. I had to renounce it. It's not a part of me trying to creep up into my life. Get out. You're done. But then I had to replace it. I had to fill that space in my life with the Word of God. How you doing, church? This is how you get free. I had to replace that void with the Word of God. And so Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. But those who trust in the Lord are kept safe. And I believe God is doing a work in my life, a new level of freedom. A new level of authority comes on your life when you allow God to work in these areas that you're stuck. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. And you need people around you who are going to help you. I have a coach, Jess and I, we meet with a coach once a month. We have psychologists that are like ex-Baptist ministers. Isn't that awesome? And so you need people in your world. They're going to help you. So there's physical freedom through rescue. There's mental and emotional freedom through restoration. And there's spiritual freedom through redemption. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I have now given my life to Jesus, that He is my leader. He is my Lord. And you got to understand that the root of every injustice in the earth is sin. At the root of it is sin. And Jesus came to once and for all deal with sin. And until sin, until every person has been set free from sin by receiving Jesus Christ as the propitiation for their sins, as the substitution for their sins, as recompense, as redemption, until that has happened in the earth, there will always be injustice. The world will be full of victory when Jesus returns and all is set right. And on that day, to say, I kneel, to say, I kneel on the day when you cannot stand. When Jesus returns in glory, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So the opportunity to kneel by your own choice is not when Jesus comes back. The window is now. And that's why we must be actively reaping the harvest of souls that are ready to choose to bow their knee to Jesus. Colossians 1:13 to 14 says, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, Jess and I have been doing this thing recently where we are taking communion every night for 30 days. It's a big commitment. And so every night we're reading, get a scripture about Jesus. Then we grab some wine, like a little bit of wine, and then some bread. We pray, and every night before I go to bed, I have to get a scripture about the cross. I have to read my Bible. And it's amazing what happens when you realign your life to the power of the cross. It is the cross that speaks of forgiveness. It is the cross that has dealt with sin. We cannot have the cross in some far over place. We must bring it front and center again into our homes, into our hearts, in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I would encourage you that we have a thing called Freedom Ministry. Have you heard of it? Freedom Ministry, we're led by Kate and Rich Forsyth. They're amazing. And this is where you can get prayer over a specific area that you may be stuck in, where you need some spiritual breakthrough. And we have a team of people that can come and pray with you. Jess and I, we get it once or twice a year because the fight is real. And so if you need that, come and talk to the team after the service. Come and receive that. Amen, church. So come back to John 8. Worship team, you can join me. Come back to John 8, 31 to 36, ESV. Go down to verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And you know, church, what's remarkable about following Jesus, being a child of God, is you can be a child of God, you can be saved, but still living like you're a slave to sin. And God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free indeed. And some of us maybe have some things that we are stuck in that I believe God wants to set you free. 1 John 5 to 10, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, I love what Proverbs says in chapter 28, 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. It doesn't work. It doesn't work out. But he who confesses and forsakes those transgressions will obtain mercy. To really step into freedom in Christ Jesus, one of the keys is confession. It's one of the ancient old ways of the people of God is confession. And I believe God is calling us to step into a place where confession is a normal part of our Christian life. How you doing? You doing all right? I know it's hard. I know men can find this really hard. But it is an important key. When we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus, is as I confess vertically, the two axes of the cross, the vertical and the horizontal. So I confess my sins to God for forgiveness. But then James goes on and he says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So when you confess your sin, church, know that God is not looking at the quality of your confession, the quality of your repentance. He's looking at the quality of this sacrifice. The unblemished Lamb of Jesus is what the priest, when the Old Testament, when they would bring an offering for sin, the priest would not look at the person carrying the offering. He would look at the lamb. And was it unblemished? what was the quality of the lamb perfect? And if it was, sin was forgiven. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. So walk in the light like John says. Grandpa Apostle John said in 1 John, walk in the light. Stay in the light. Do whatever it takes to stay in the light. Do not conceal. It doesn't work. It'll catch up eventually. You won't prosper if you conceal, but you will have life everlasting if you confess. You have freedom and healing if you confess. So I must confess to Jesus. I must step into the light. But then I must respect and understand that the body of Christ is part of your freedom experience. That I confess my sin to Jesus and that I confess to one another for healing. That my life truly starts to change when people around me know what I'm struggling with. When there's no secrets. Because you will stay as sick as your secrets. But if you will bring them into the light, you will find healing. And that's why we need one another. You need one another's. This is not a staff pastor. There are 64 one another's in Scripture. It's the body, it's the people, it's the church that are called to be the one another for each other. I have my connect group. I love my connect group. We talk about everything. I'm the senior pastor. Jess has her connect group. We're the senior pastors, but we talk about things we're struggling with. We get our connect to pray for us. We pray for each other. I have seen God answer specific prayers that we have prayed as a connect group. For 18 months, I had one prayer request and God did it. It happened. I'm not even joking. It's not even faith. It happened. It happened. And you know, some of you may be thinking, I forgot to mention one person here today, but there's this guy, Phil Hubbard, and he's the pastor of C3 London, but he's like one of my best friends in the whole world. And he's known me since I was 17, probably longer, actually probably my whole life. But at least since I was 17, this guy knows everything about me. Everything. He knows it all. He knows it all. Do you have that? This is why we have connect groups, church. Connect groups are not meant to be another Sunday service experience. They're not meant to be another high five moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, we love high fives. Don't feel bad if you high five. High five's great. But you gotta have a close group of people who you talk about your actual experience, who actually know what you're struggling with, know your temptations. People you can even confess sin. You can say, hey, can you keep me accountable to this? I'm struggling with this right now. That's what connect groups for. That's why we need to have connect groups that are like 8 to 10 people. We're not trying to have connect groups of 20, 30, another crowd. Sundays will be big, okay? That's not changing. We're gonna reach a lot of people. We're gonna reach thousands of people in this city. So Sundays will be big, full of people from every walk of life, but you need a small group. You need 8 to 10 people that pray for your specific needs. And I'm believing for connect groups all over this city. There are 658 suburbs in Sydney. I'm believing for every suburb to have at least one connect group in it, where there's depth of relationship and fellowship. And I'm telling you, that is the backbone of our church. The future of our church, the backbone of our church as we grow together is not gonna be just a service, it's gonna be groups that are walking and following Jesus together. So confess, don't conceal. Bring it to Jesus and bring it to one another that you may be healed and that you may live in the freedom, that you would be free indeed. Everybody, can you close your eyes?
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect with us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.